It's always a pleasure when we get to welcome to the show for his weekly visit, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com, as he joins us for this hour of the program. Brent's appearance is brought to you by our friends at Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. You can view their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent Hubbs, how are you?
I'm doing great, but in the words of the guy from the captain from Hill Street Blues, let's be careful out there, people. Traffic is a mess. I'm telling you, it is a mess, and everybody's in a hurry, and the sun is providing a glare. So there's my only traffic report for you. Just have a little bit of patience and be careful out there, because it is a zoo for sure. But I'm doing well. Hope you guys are.
Yeah, happy to say that is the case. And can you remember such a chaotic time, as well as how quickly and fast the coaching carousel has spun this go-around?
Oh, I mean, the amazing thing is the fact that we've seen two coaches at two blue bloods leave on their own. That's the story of the carousel. I mean, you just don't see that happening, and that's an interesting twist to this year's carousel. Will it become a trend? I don't know, but if somebody would have said, you know, back in the summer that Brian Kelly. If somebody would have said Brian Kelly had left Notre Dame, I would have thought an NFL job. But the fact that he's leaving to go to another college job is not something anybody saw. I don't think anybody saw coming. Same for Lincoln Riley, because coaches just don't make moves like that from one big-name school to another big-name school. So it's been really fascinating to see. It's obviously been very busy this week. Colorado State making a move today. You know, they waited a couple of days to save a couple million dollars, yeah, which was a smart move on their part. I probably didn't catch the head coach off guard. He probably knew he was getting ready to lose a little bit of money. So we'll see where they go, and we'll see where Oklahoma goes. So the Oklahoma fan base is, and everybody out there covering that, is getting a really quick indoctrination to the challenges of coaching searches, because they haven't had one. I mean, they haven't had one in forever.
Right. And typically, if you go through the last 40 or 50 years or so, they hire assistants or promote assistants.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They haven't had a search. Yeah. I mean, not a real search. Their searches walk down to the office and go, hey, you're up. You know, you're the next one. And they do what Notre Dame's doing with Freeman. And so I got tickled at reading some Oklahoma fans talking about, I mean, this search is dragging out forever. This is the longest search ever. And I'm like, guys, it started Monday morning. It's Thursday at lunch. You're not really officially even into a search at this point if you're going to do a full-blown search. So it is certainly interesting, and we haven't even got to the fallout of assistant coaches moving around. I think this year, because of the heavy movement that we've seen, John, of big-name schools, I think you're going to see more assistant movement in January than we typically see. Really? I don't think everybody's going to have a staff in place here in the next 10 days, 2 weeks. I think you may see some movement, you know, into January with some assistant coaches for even coordinator spots. We saw that with Josh, you know, taking a while to get the defensive coordinator spot hired. But I just think you're going to see some stuff carry over after this first signing day before staffs are completely rounded out.
Brent, in regard to the portal, Florida defensive end Chris Bogle, who was a target of Tennessee 3 years ago, he's in the portal. Do you think Tennessee might have interest in him?
You know, Jimmy, I don't know for sure. I don't think so. He's not had a great career, obviously, at Florida. He's not put up a ton of numbers. He's had some moments, but I don't know that his development has been kind of what everybody projected it to be. I don't think he's on that path. So I would be a little surprised if that's where Tennessee, you know, elected to go. Here's the thing about the portal. There's 2,600 kids in the portal, right at 2,600 kids in the portal right now, as of this hour.
Wow.
There's not that many spots for everybody to go. And when somebody goes in the portal, everybody wants, and it's no fault of anybody, but everybody wants to know immediately, you know, where's that guy on the board? Well, I mean, if you're a school, you got to look at a lot of things as to why he's going in the portal. What's the storyline there? Is there some issues that you need to deal with? And, you know, evaluation, does he fit, and that type of thing. Do I think Tennessee would take a defensive end out of the portal, defensive lineman out of the portal? Absolutely. I do. I think they may end up with one at some point. But you got this, you know, you got two waves of the portal, as we talked about last week. You got this wave that's coming in, and then you've got the wave that's going to happen in the springtime of portal kids that's going to be out there. So I think you're going to see schools be a little more selective, you know, and take a little more time in deciding on who they like or who they don't like in the portal. Now, I know some people are out there offering, but just because a guy went into the portal and he's got four or five stars, why is he leaving? Why is he not developed the way he wants to be? That star ranking is gone. You know, that high school star ranking is gone.
And that's what have you done on the college level.
Yeah, it's what you've done at the college level. And I think that's what everybody is trying to figure out. And for Tennessee, Jimmy, I think a receiver, an outside receiver, mm-hmm. I think an offensive tackle, defensively a defensive lineman, linebacker, I think those are your priorities in the portal, running back potentially as well. What surprised me most about the portal this week is that nobody from Tennessee's gone into the portal.
This week. Yeah.
This week. Yeah. I'm not saying that somebody's not going, but with all the activity we've seen this week to where the portal number is, I'm a little bit surprised that somebody from Tennessee has not put themselves in the portal.
I think you were kind of touching on this a little bit ago, but from Tennessee's perspective, I think they took some players in the portal last year for depth. Mm-hmm. Now I think if they're going to find somebody in the portal, they want that guy to be a starter, not just for depth purposes. Do you think so?
Well, I think yes, but I think there's two factors in there. Okay, part of it's the position that you're looking at. Okay, you need help at right tackle. Mm-hmm. You want somebody to come in and compete to be a starter at right tackle, not a depth guy, because you've got an uncertainty there. No offense to Dane Davis or Jeremiah Crawford, but you're uncertain at right tackle. Defensive line, maybe that's a little bit more depth, you know, but can you get a guy who's got 3 years of eligibility? Like for in my opinion, DeJon Terry's a great take in the transfer portal. He got better throughout the year, but he's just really getting started. He's got plenty of time still to develop. You're not getting him for 12 games. So I think that to your point, yes, you're wanting a guy to make an immediate impact, unless it's a guy with 3 years of eligibility left or 4 years of eligibility left, and then you look at him and say, hey, I recruited him coming out of high school 2 years ago. I know what he's about. He's a guy that in the right situation I think can be really successful. Then that's a different look than it is a guy who's got 1 year of eligibility left or even two, where you're saying, hey, that guy, if I take him, he's got to play right now. Can he be productive enough for us? I just think head coaches are going to be more selective in the portal than they have been the last couple of years, because I think there's been enough cases of Mondre Londons, of people where you took a guy and you just didn't get anything out of it.
Right.
You know, look for Tennessee. I mean, you know, part of it's, you know, injury and the shoulder injury and everything else. But the Williams kid from Texas that Tennessee took.
Mitchell.
Or Mitchell, excuse me. Yeah. I keep wanting to call him Williams. But Mitchell, you just didn't get a lot out of it. You just didn't get anything out of that.
Right.
You know, so those are some of the decisions that coaches are having to look at. And I think that's why you will see a slower process with portal kids over the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Alante Taylor, he's bypassing. He could come back next year. Going to get ready for the draft, bypassing the bowl game, get ready for the Senior Bowl. He's been injured the last couple of weeks. I wouldn't think that's a surprise, is it?
No, I mean, the whole reason Alante Taylor's not playing in the bowl game, in my opinion, is because of the foot injury and to get healthy. Anybody that's spending any time with Alante Taylor knows how much he loves Tennessee. We all saw his emotion at Senior Day. He's laid it on the line for Tennessee his entire career at Tennessee. He loves playing in the orange and white. But he's looking at this from a standpoint. I mean, if you go to the Senior Bowl and you're a corner and you got a bad wheel, you're going to have a bad week. Mm-hmm. And that's such an important week to try to establish yourself and to build up where you are on draft boards and that type of thing. So it makes sense. I mean, you can't look at Alante Taylor's career and say he's sold Tennessee short on anything during his time here. So I totally get it. But I think the injury is the reason why he's not going to play.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900. Let's check in with Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, Brent, the kid that transferred to us from in the portal from Kansas. What do you see for his future?
Well, I just referenced DeShawn Terry a couple of minutes ago, and he is a guy that I think he's going to be a good player for Tennessee, Jimmy. I think you've seen more plays out of him the last month, 6 weeks of the season. He's a guy who's getting better. He needs a good offseason, no question. But I think he's a guy who will be much more active on the field, much more productive on the field right out of the gate next year. I like what I see out of him. I think he gets up the field. I think his pad leverage is getting better, hands are getting better, and I think he's coached by one of the best coaches on this staff.
Right. Let me ask you this. You're talking about offensive linemen. The guys that we recruited, we've been there a year or two, the two big boys from Alabama and the person of Nigerian descent, and Lampley youngster. Is he hurt? Of those four, what do you think about their future at Tennessee?
Well, I mean, look, R.J. Perry, who is a potential right tackle, has got the greatest opportunity in front of him this offseason. It's up to him. You know, he's got to go get bigger, get more physical. He's got to really learn how to play that position. But hey, it's all out in front of you right now, because I think the right tackle spot's open and available for whoever. Robinson at guard, is he's going to have a great offseason to be a factor, because Carvin's coming back. I think you probably got some comfort level in what Ollie Lane, the stability he provided for you when was asked to play in there at the guard position. And then you got Spraggins back, and I think your two best guards are Carvin and Spraggins, so they would be my guards next year. And same for Okporogade. I just think that he and Robinson, you know, really have to go to work, and we'll see where their development is this offseason. William Parker's another guy who's a young player there. I kind of like them in the interior, Jimmy, because from a depth standpoint, I don't think it's bad. Lampley's a guy who played in the Vanderbilt game, played on a couple of scoring drives. You know, he could play, you know, the center position if you needed him to. So they've got some numbers there. They don't have numbers at tackle, and I think that's why Tennessee will be active in the portal if they can find the right guy who can play tackle for him on the offensive line.
Steve, we do appreciate the call. Again, our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900. With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900. Brent, in honor of Dan Mullen, it's now recruiting time. So, if you would start first with what Tennessee added this week in picking up a corner in three-star Christian Harrison.
Well, obviously, great name, great family genes there in Rodney Harrison, and that's a guy who was committed to Liberty early, and I will give that Liberty staff great credit for early identification there and getting that commit. And then Tennessee came in, Florida was in there hot and heavy. The Florida staff changes, I think, changed obviously things dramatically for him. And Tennessee had been trending there, and that's a guy that Willie Martinez likes. And I think he's got some versatility. He can play safety, may end up being a safety. Could he play nickel, star? We'll see. I'm a good athlete just because your dad played and was successful doesn't mean you're a great player. We've seen that throughout the years here for sure, but a good athlete who played against really, really good competition down in Georgia, and Tennessee did a nice job recruiting him. And I think they're going to go heavy at that position in the secondary. I think you could see them take four or five guys in this class in the secondary, from JUCO ranks to high school ranks. Who knows? Maybe even a transfer. I don't know that they'll go transfer there. I think it'll be more high school JUCO type players.
Yeah, and one of those would be one of the top targets for Tennessee from the junior college rank, Desmond Williams. What do you think in terms of Tennessee's chances with him?
Well, that's the guy Tennessee has ramped up the heat on hot and heavy here. And Tennessee was in home this week with Coach Heupel, and this guy's going to visit Tennessee officially. So I think, you know, timing-wise, it looks like it sets up pretty good for Tennessee. Mississippi State's probably the biggest competition there for him at this point, and we'll see where that goes. I mean, I think Willie Martinez has done a good job there, and we'll see. They've got a couple of guys in this weekend. They've got the Jordan Thomas kid from down in Alabama is going to be in this weekend as well. He decommitted from Mississippi State yesterday. comes in on a visit to Tennessee this weekend. Got to like kind of the way that one's positioning and setting up for Tennessee as well. So
there was the running back. Was it West Virginia that he decommitted?
Justin Williams?
Yeah, Justin Williams. Where do you think Tennessee stands with him?
Right now he's not scheduled to visit anywhere this weekend. He was with the Tennessee coaching staff and Josh Heupel yesterday for an in-home visit. He's supposed to be at Tennessee next weekend for an official visit for the final, you know, his final visit before making a decision. Auburn has been in there. He you know, was at the Iron Bowl, and you kind of wondered where that was. But since then, he's come out and still declared Tennessee as the front runner right now. So I kind of like where Tennessee appears to be at this point, Jimmy, with that one. I don't think he's going to go back to West Virginia. Auburn would be the team that you would kind of think maybe has the best chance. But if he's not visiting anywhere this weekend, Tennessee gets the last visit. You kind of like the way you have that one set up as well. I think that's a guy Tennessee likes a lot. I think he's very comfortable with Tennessee. He's seen Tennessee twice in the last month, 3 weeks, something like that. Going to see him three times in a 5 or 6 week period, which is, you know, as you close in on signing day, that's what you're looking for if you're a college coach and you want that player. You want him on your campus as much as you can get him.
Do you think that this Tennessee staff likes particular body types with their running backs?
I think they like skill sets. You know, do they like bigger guys? Yeah, I mean, I think so. But do I think that they sit there and go, we're not going to recruit a 185-pound back because he's not heavy enough? No, I don't think that. I think they're looking for guys that fit into their system well, and you know, can they put some weight on him? But does he run well enough? Does he have the vision that you need to have? They have a prototypical size, but I don't think that the size is all-inclusive on whether or not you push hard or you don't push hard there. So to answer your question, yeah, they like a bigger back, I think. I think they want a guy who can go between the tackles a little bit, but I don't think they want a plotter. I mean, I think they want a guy who can get out in the open field, make somebody miss, and go. Because what we've seen with this running offense is, particularly when they're going fast, Jimmy, you know, if they can get guys misaligned, it's a little bit easier to block in some cases. And you get that one-on-one matchup. Can you win a one-on-one matchup? Can you make the safety miss? You know, now at times you got to run and get tough yards. I think that was one of the more positive things to come out of the last 2 weeks of the regular season. Jalen Wright's not the biggest guy, but Jimmy, he ran with better pad leverage. He finished runs better. He fell forward. His yards after contact was better. His vision was better. He looked like a guy who was no longer being a high school running back playing on the college game, started to look like a college running back. Now, how much bigger can he get? We'll see. But if I'm Jerry Mack, I'm encouraged by what I saw out of Jalen Wright the last couple of weeks compared to what he did the first month of the season for you.
Yeah, he had over 100 yards in the Vanderbilt game there. Are they looking in the JUCO ranks for running backs?
No, I think if they go running back, they would go transfer. Now, again, what's that room going to look like? I mean, we've all written D. Beckwith off, right? I mean, we just – he's out of here. He's not played. He tweets out or Instagrams out some picture the other day of Josh Heupel, you know, with basically a big orange emoji and says, my coach, with like a heart next to it or something like that. So what does that mean, right? You never know. Obviously, they've lost Tyon Evans. They lost T. Hodge. So – you know, got a couple of guys committed, or one guy committed, but seemed to be in good shape with Justin Williams. And then I think if they look at another running back, it would probably at this point be a transfer, unless some crazy high school guy called up out of the blue and said he was suddenly interested in Tennessee.
Do you like the Louisiana running back that is committed?
You know, he's got good speed. I think, you know, you asked me about measurables earlier. He's not the biggest guy, right. You know, which is a little bit of a But I think that his skill set is something that they really, really liked. I think they would like – I think if you took him and Justin Williams, then you've got some – and you can get Justin Williams, there's some complement there because you got a bigger guy and you got a little bit of a speedier guy, okay, or a little bit more of a shifty guy, smaller guy, if you will. But then if there's a transfer guy that's out there and available that you would like, Jahmyr Gibbs is a guy Tennessee certainly would like to be involved with. Austin had this last night. I don't think Tennessee can get in that one. I thought they would be able to. It doesn't seem like Tennessee is going to be a factor there with him. I think Alabama's got a lot of interest in him as a transfer. Some other schools have some interest. It doesn't feel like, in talking to Austin after he made some calls and worked it last night, it just doesn't feel like he's got a whole lot of interest in Tennessee. The other one that's in the portal is Zach Evans from TCU that Tennessee was involved with. That was a crazy recruitment, right? I mean, it was strange. Where's he going to go? What's he going to do? Is Ole Miss a factor there? Could be. Could Tennessee end up being a factor there? Maybe they try with that one. So Gibbs doesn't seem likely. Evans, you know, maybe they can get involved in that one. There'll be a lot of people involved in that one. How he handles that process will be interesting, considering how wild his recruitment was in landing at TCU.
Crazy.
Interesting.
Just crazy.
Interesting.
Interesting. We'll have more with the interesting Brent Hubs. So you can call in 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. 656-9900, 656-9900. If you have a question or comment for Brent, let's check in with Doug. You're on Sports Talk. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. And yourself?
I'm good. So I just got in the car. I got the radio on here just a few minutes ago, so I apologize if I ask something that's already been asked. But so I guess I got a couple questions that kind of go along with recruiting. So, you know, we typically hear that each school can sign somewhere in the 20-30 range. Is that correct?
25 is the max. Unless you're – then you get into some of the new transfer rules. But 25 new high school players.
Okay, so I guess my question kind of is this. So if Tennessee should be expecting to sign maybe 25 high school students this year, do we get to go and get the same amount of kids to the transfer portal that we lose to the transfer portal? So we're going to get 25 high school kids, and if we lose 15 or if we lose – you know, 10, 15, 20 to the transfer portal, do we get to go get that same amount?
No. No, there's a rule in place that you can, quote, take more than 25 or oversign, whatever you want to call it, bring in more than 25. And I think the proposed rule is up to 7 with your transfer. So if you lost 15, the most you could replace with them is 7 guys. So you can't have a signing class of 50 kids counting transfers. And again, the other qualifier that you throw in there is you got to stay under the 85 number. Okay? So it's a balancing act. So it's why you can't, if everybody stays, you can't sign 25 every year, cuz you're going to be over 20, you're going to be over your 85 number in year 4 if you started at 0. So you're always dealing with the 85 number as well. So we'll see where Tennessee ends up. I could see Tennessee somewhere, depending on how many people left their program, how many super seniors come back, how many guys transfer, what's Tennessee going to self-impose, okay, if they're going to self-impose some numbers below that 85 number. I think Tennessee's realistic number is probably somewhere around 23 to 28, maybe, something like that. I think that's a very fluid number. I don't think it'll be 30. I don't think it'll be less than probably, it won't be less than 25. So I probably should say 25 to 28 or 29 would probably be your most realistic number, depending on who's coming back and who leaves and where you are in yourself and Bo's number with the 85 number out there. So a lot of variables.
Okay. Let me ask you two other quick questions. So do you think that the transfer portal devalues or takes away from the maybe kids that want to come from a junior college?
Well,
because maybe you can go get up their Division I schools or big school.
No, I don't know that it devalues the junior college player because you know, you're only going to recruit a junior college player that's highly productive, that you believe can absolutely come in and play immediately. What you're trying to sort through in the transfer portal is, can a guy help you? Why is he leaving? Are they forcing him out? You know, is he leaving because of a coaching change? Is he not as good as you thought he would be, or they thought he would be? Why is he not developed? Is there a culture issue with him in the locker room? All of those things are variables that you look at. The junior college players that get signed are the elite. It's the best of the best out of the junior college ranks. There's not a lot of people signing marginal junior college players. Now, look, you might sign a guy who it doesn't translate and he can't play here. We saw that with the big offensive lineman from Alabama who was a junior college player who I can't ever remember his name, but this was many years ago, who everybody thought he was a five-star, going to be a great player, never could play at Tennessee. And that happens from time to time, right? I mean, you have those things that happen. I think what's going to be the challenge for high school kids and how the transfer portal can devalue some kids are going to be the kids who are at the lower levels, okay? Because if you're Eastern Kentucky, are you going to take 25 high school kids or are you going to take 8 high school kids and 17 transfers? What's the better deal for you, a high school kid or 17 kids who weren't good enough to get on the field at a Power 5 level that you can go get? Who's the more talented player? Who helps you the most? Where do you get help there? I think that's the biggest concern of the effect of the transfer portal is that level of kid coming out of high school.
Okay. Last question is, I know I'm very excited and getting close to Sunday night. I guess my question is, how realistic do you think the possibility is of, I keep hearing people say that maybe Tennessee could land in either the Gator Bowl, maybe depending on how the chips fall out, maybe we could get to the Outback Bowl. Is it possible? What opponents, I feel like it's important for us to play a brand new school. A brand football school, not a Minnesota. Don't have any interest in playing them. I would rather play, Texas. I know they're probably not eligible at this point, but I would rather play somebody like that. I know both of those bowls are Big Ten bowls, but just kind of talk about the bowl thing. I'll hang up and listen. Sure. Thanks always. Love you guys every day. Thanks.
Well, Jimmy, I'll defer to you on bowl stuff. I will say this. I looked at 5 bowl projections today. And I saw Tennessee projected to go to the Tax Slayer Bowl, the Outback Bowl, the Music City Bowl, the Duke's Mayonnaise Bowl. And I think one other one had them in the Music City Bowl. So I think there were 2 to the Music City Bowl, and the other 3 were the 3 different bowls. So in 5 projections, you had 4 different bowls out there with Tennessee.
And I've looked at some of that, too. I think the Outback Bowl is on the fringe. I don't think that Tennessee will go there. I think it would be more likely to be the Gator Bowl in Charlotte or the Music City. That's what I'm thinking right now. I know the Liberty Bowl would love to get them. I don't think they're going to fall to the Liberty Bowl.
No, I don't think so either. Here's where I look at this and kind of talking to some people, and we'll continue to talk to them the next couple of days to sort of see where some things are. Is the Capital One Bowl going to take Kentucky? Do they feel like they have to take Kentucky because they're going to have the best record out there of a school who's not in a New Year's Day 6? This is provided Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss is in a New Year's 6/playoff. Okay,
I think is a good bet.
Right. Those 3 are going to be there. I think it's a good bet, too. So then the Capital One goes next. Do they feel like they need to take Kentucky because they have the best record, even though they had Kentucky in that bowl game after the 18 season? So they had them most recently. Okay, where's that rule about you 2 wins? Is that a rule?
That's no longer a rule.
Is that a gentleman's handshake? Yep. Is that just kind of, that type of thing?
Yep.
So do they take Kentucky? If they do, then I think the Outback Bowl sits there with Arkansas, Texas A&M, and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And who do they want? They've never had Arkansas. They've never had A&M. Which is more, is Arkansas more attractive to them than Tennessee? Okay. I think Tennessee and Arkansas are both more attractive than Texas A&M, John.
Yeah.
So what does the Outback do at that point if the Capital One takes Kentucky? If Capital One doesn't take Kentucky and say they take Arkansas or they take A&M, I think the Outback Bowl jumps on Kentucky.
I do, too.
So I think for Tennessee to get to the Outback Bowl to have a shot there, they need Kentucky and Orlando for the Capital One.
is the name you were searching for, Dontavius Blair?
Yes, it was. Thank you very much, because I was going to get in a car and do a Google search before I pulled out back into traffic, so I didn't text and drive. But thank you very much.
Yeah, I did the Google search.
I appreciate that.
Not going to pretend had that one. It was Blair.
I am struggling with names these days. I am struggling.
It only gets worse, young man.
I'm telling you. I had a conversation with Austin Price this morning, and he was like, "Who are you talking about?" And I'm like, da-da-da, and I completely missed the name, completely had the last name wrong. It was, like, not even close. He's like, he goes, "You're going to mess me up for every show or everything I type because you've got me typing wrong names because you're getting all these names messed up." And I'm like, "Oh, this is not good. Not good at all."
Yeah, the great thing is Austin's not going to give you any grief about
that. Not at all. he would never blame me for anything in any way, shape, or form. But I could rattle off a bunch of names, and, man, I got to have a list these days. I tell you what, it's a struggle.
Final segment for us with Brent Hubbs. Let's say hello to Randall. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Randall.
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking the call. Jimmy, John, feel free to hop in, but my question to Brent is, how would you explain Georgia's offense? I mean, do you think it's an overpowering offense, or is it a product of how stifling that defense is the reason why they keep other teams off the field and Georgia's able to go and score?
Oh, I think it's defense. I think their defense is, but because of how good their defense is, that's changed the way they've played offense. Now they've had a lot of injuries too. Okay, they've had several injuries to the wide receiver position that's made them less explosive. But because of how well they are and how good they are defensively, Kirby Smart's got no interest in giving an opposing offense a short field or an easy field. So. Some would say that's conservative. Yeah, I guess in some ways they're conservative. He gets the lead. He's very comfortable with it. Obviously, they can run the football. They want to run the football, use the tight ends. They're not going to play up-tempo. They're not the most explosive. Again, a good bit of that has to do, I think, with wide receiver injury. Mm-hmm. But he's playing Stetson Bennett because Stetson Bennett takes care of the football. JT Daniels can throw it better, right? I mean, he's got much more of a pro arm, can make all the throws, but he's risky with the ball. It's the only reason Clemson had a chance to win in week one, because JT Daniels was risky with the ball from that point on. Once he got the injury, I think Kirby Smart said, I'm pretty good playing this defensive football, and we'll roll with Stetson Bennett. We'll see if that'll get him to the finish line, but that's the way they've elected to play this year.
He's more comfortable with a caretaker.
Yes, and he's more comfortable in a low-scoring game. Kirby Smart's got no interest in being in a 35-34 football game. That is not what he's about at all.
Well, now my other question is that would you take Benton or Hooker as your starting quarterback?
It depends on. I mean, if you're talking about in Josh Heupel's offense, I'll take Hendon Hooker.
Yes.
If I'm the
well, I
right
appreciate
John,
y'all for taking the call.
I mean,
Randall, we appreciate the call. Go ahead.
If I've got that defense, and I want to play the way Kirby Smart's playing football, I mean, I understand the Stetson Bennett. I understand why he likes Stetson Bennett. I think Hendon Hooker can do what they asked Stetson Bennett to do. I don't think Stetson Bennett can do in Josh Heupel's offense what they asked Hendon Hooker to do.
Brent, what's going on these days at BallQuest?
Ton of recruiting, basketball coverage, ton of recruiting coverage, obviously chasing down stuff in the portal as well. We got the War Room tomorrow, had our podcast up today. All the latest on Tennessee's visitors. It'll be a busy visit weekend in terms of official visitors. All the news on that coming up in the War Room. A lot more tidbits on where coaches have been as well. So a ton of recruiting stuff in this short window. I mean, think about this, guys. I mean, we're less than 2 weeks away from the early signing day.
That's right.
Happens fast here. A lot of coaches on the move trying to get a lot of stuff done in a short period of time.
Brent, always appreciate it. Good luck with everything. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Brent Hubbs. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. Coming up, hour number four of Sports Talk. Look forward to bringing you comments from Rick Barnes, comments from Kelly Harper, and maybe even Candace Parker. But up next, it's your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6. And should I say, we will also have the grand prize drawing for the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville, as that contest has come to an end and will reveal the winner in the next hour. Up next, your chance to win tonight with the Sports Fix at 6. Stay with us on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival.
featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.